Oh, hi. I didn't see you come in. Why don't you take a seat, sit down, stay a while, and enjoy a brand new episode of our Masks Actual Play podcast, Academy H, sort of. Because you're about to listen to the penultimate episode of our interlude story, Fallen Stars, which uses the Fist system by Claymore RPGs. That's right, we only have one more episode to spend with our cast of horrible but lovable monsters. And if you're going to miss them, just imagine how we feel months later. Fortunately, you might not have to wait too long to see at least one of them in action again. But that's an announcement for a different day. You'll have to keep an eye on the Live from the Apocalypse socials if you want to know more information about that. And speaking of, this remains, as always, a Live from the Apocalypse production. We are a not-for-profit TTRPG studio that makes actual play content, like streams and podcasts, to raise money for nonprofits and aid organizations, and currently, Doctors Without Borders. If you'd like to be a part of that, you should check us out at twitch.tv/livefromtheapocalypse, where we do all of our live streaming, including the recording sessions for this show. And that's not even mentioning the other 8 games or so that we have going at any given time. So we'd love it if you would stop by, keep us company in the chat, maybe donate to Doctors Without Borders if you can, but most importantly, thanks just for listening to this show. I don't want to speak for you, but I know that I will be incredibly sad when this arc comes to a conclusion next week. Hopefully you've been enjoying it just as much as we enjoyed making it. And assuming that's the case, I'm not going to keep you from it any longer. So without further ado, here it is, part 4 of our interlude story, Fallen Stars. Before you, in a room full of supervillains, where you are all scattered, you see your host, who has identified himself as Kingside. He is a fairly tall individual, but also definitely on the skinny side. He wears a dark Lotus Group coat, like so many people around you currently, and a mask on his face. Next to him, in a matching coat, there is a red-haired individual with the sides shaved, kind of pulled back into a small ponytail, whom you have met and who has been identified to you as Sinner. In between the two of them, there's a very large man, about 6.5 feet tall, in a dark suit, very chiseled, handsome features. It's going gray at the temples, but the rest of his hair is dark and slicked back. And he has a very impassive, stony expression on his face. And Kingside has just said to the room, "Give a warm welcome to our guest of honor, Tyrant." People around you are clapping. What are you all doing?
Clapping.
Not clapping.
Thesaurus is doing golf taps.
I think Oss is still locked in conversation with Bushwhacker and will only break off if Bushwhacker starts clapping. And if Bushwhacker starts clapping, Oss will be like, "Huh? What are we clapping about? Oh, okay, there's a guy."
Bushwhacker does start clapping, but as you are standing next to him over by the book table, he's been kind of explaining the intricacies of his book, Hunting People for Fun and Profit. He starts clapping, and then he leans over and says, "All right, you nervous?"
What about?
"No, don't. Look, you'll be great. I wouldn't worry about it."
What am I doing? Nobody gave me, like, a cue sheet or anything. Am I supposed to be doing something?
They didn't tell you.
I mean, that's not unusual, but, yeah, no.
No, yeah, right. I guess that would make sense. Don't worry about it. I'm sure they're gonna...
Oh, are we gonna be hunted for fun and profit? Is that what's gonna go down here?
He smiles real big and says, "Look, I'm sorry that I gave it away. But yeah."
Oh, no. Okay, I get it. This is like sort of like a big elaborate double cross situation. Oh, okay. Like prank the new guys. Okay, yeah, no, I get it. I know how it is.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a double cross necessarily, but yeah, that's the plan, basically.
Okay, cool. So do we like get like a head start, or like how's this going to go?
Look, I know about as much as you do at this point. And as he says that, up at the front of the room where he's standing, Kingside starts to talk again. Now that the applause is starting to die down, thank you all for that very warm reception for Tyrant. As you all know, or at least most of you know, you've been invited here to take part in conversations because the Lotus Group is going public, as it were. We have a great deal to offer. We've existed in the shadows for a long, long time, but we're prepared to become a more active part of this community. And you've all been invited to get in on the ground floor of that. However, those of you who have been invited and were not extended a seat at the table, fear not. In addition to these festivities, you still have a chance to earn that spot. We have among our ranks here today a few distinguished guests. Inner spec royalty, you might say. Four former members of the Super Tactical Assault Regiment. Capable elite agents. Or so I'm told. Lotus Island is a big place, a dangerous place. And all you have to do to earn a seat at the table is bring back their heads.
So at that point, Oz is going to look over at Bushwhack and he'd be like, he's doing the thing. You got me. And he's going to give him sort of a friendly little shove on the shoulder. And if he doesn't stop me from doing that, I'm going to do a thing.
He doesn't stop you because he is kind of joking around with you. Honestly, he's like, I'm coming for you, mate. I'm going to get you. Your head. I'm going to get your head. And you're standing there and joking back and forth. What's the thing you want to do?
If I give him the little shove that then lets me make bodily contact with him and get my hand slightly behind his head, I am going to be contortionizing in such a way to try and wrap myself around his body, get him into just the worst possible triangle choke of all time, and probably just myrtleate him.
This is the result of one of your traits, I'm assuming.
Yeah, contortionist.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then, in this case, really all it would really give me is giving me a bonus to reflexive if I'm able to roll that for this.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, that is going to be another 8.
So yeah, you do get to do your damage. He may get to do something in return.
I'm improvising with this. It's not like a choking move. It's just me using this kind of narratively to do it. So it's just, a one damage attack, I guess. It doesn't give me any special bonus or anything.
Call it a d6. Roll a d6 for damage, because I think that makes sense, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a one damage, so.
Perfect, yeah. So you do this, you kind of, attack him, and you hear a crack, I think, of, his shoulder popping out of the socket. As you, do that, he will cry out in pain. Everybody falls quiet. Kingside stops talking. Eyes turn to look at you. And he is standing there with one arm kind of hanging there a little bit limply.
God, crikey. God, Jesus. All right, you get a head start.
Oz will kind of pause momentarily, kind of look around the room.
Everybody's kind of staring at you. And Kingside says, as I was saying, the Stars Agents will be getting a 10-minute head start out into the jungles before you can follow them, which I would recommend strongly they take advantage of. And he will sort of look meaningfully across the room.
The Sarah just has their hand up like this, waiting.
This is not a question and answer situation.
Well, how many heads do I have to bring back if I want the seat?
Great question.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I think that is a lot of fun. I think I want you to roll with creative.
With a -1, that's going to be an 8.
With an 8, you get a small nod of appreciation or something. Interest, maybe? Respect? Hard to say. But a little incline of the head from Kingside as you ask that question. And he is quiet for a second and he says, I like that attitude. It's not something that we had particularly considered, but why not make it interesting? You bring back a head. We'll consider you.
I like being considered. And then I'm going to take off.
Are we on the first floor? Are we up a flight or two?
You were on the first floor. You came in directly through the front doors of the facility, which nobody else did.
I am going to use my cut ability on the big glass wall and chop it in half and have as much rain of it on the people in here to even the odds a little bit.
That sounds like a forceful roll.
I rolled double ones.
Okay. Do you have a war die? You could spend a war die if you want, but you don't have to. You can let that ride.
No, I have no war die, so let it ride.
So you can absolutely cut through this window with your blade and try to do it in such a way that it shatters in on itself. But it doesn't shatter immediately. That's not unexpected. But you're pretty sure that once you leap through it and like out into the world, that it will shatter. Unfortunately, what apparently is the case with this is that it is somewhat reinforced. You cut it and you leap through it. It does shatter as you make contact with it, but it doesn't really shatter cleanly. And I think you're just going to end up showering yourself in glass.
Tight. Love that for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also wanted to grab Asher before I jumped through the glass.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I think you're going to have to roll for that too.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think it's going to be with Dexterous this time, or Reflexive, rather.
Okay.
Because that's going to be a quick thing.
All right. That time I got a 10.
Perfect. Okay, yeah, you absolutely can grab Asher. Here's the question that I have to ask you. You're going to get covered in glass, which means Asher's going to get covered in glass. Either you can take the damage or Asher can take the damage.
I'll take the damage.
All right. Let me roll just a tiny bit of damage here for you. Do you have armor?
No. No, I have extra HP, but I don't have armor.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. So you're just taking 5 points of damage.
Okay, cool. And I'm at half health.
Yeah, you are cut up. There is some glass. Asher screams in the process and is like, look, oh me. But you get outside, you have Asher basically slung over one shoulder. He doesn't weigh very much and you can carry him out. You are now out of the complex. So is the Sorrows. You can see the Sorrows kind of bolting for the tree line. Watcher, what are you doing?
Watcher has been watching all of this and taking it in. And after Seed makes his exit, Watcher cocks their head to the side and asks, you said if the Sorrows brings back one head, that she would be considered. Does that apply to all of us?
Kingside spreads his hands magnanimously and says, why not?
I like the sound of that. And Watcher rips off their shirt, revealing the tattoos glowing across their body.
There's a gasp.
It's fine. It's totally normal. It's fine. And spreads their wings, brings out all six, and then takes a running leap and dives through the shattered glass of the window.
Boss, get out of there, buddy.
You dive through the shattered remains of the window. You are not cut. The window has basically been completely cleared, and you spread your wings. You can take to the sky. Ossuary, what are you doing? You were still wrapped around Bushwhacker.
Oh, you know, okay, all right, okay. So I feel a little awkward now. Like I said, this is really why, okay, so like I used to work in the movies. They would usually give me like a cue sheet. And so like, I'm just saying there really should have been a cue sheet for this whole situation. But hey, you know, I'm really sorry. I feel really awkward asking this though, but do you think, do you mind if I take one of your books? And would you mind signing it for me, honestly?
My shoulder's dislocated.
Oh, so you can't sign it?
That's my writing hand.
Okay, good to know. All right, I am still going to take this book, though. He was actually literally asking just to try and determine whether or not the shoulder that he dislocated was, in fact, his dominant hand or not.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Oz is going to saunter over, cross the room, retrieve his duffel bag, is going to start walking back up the stairs, up back towards where the rooms were that they came out of. He'll just sort of, like, look around the room at everybody, presumably staring at him. It's like, you'll see you guys in 10 minutes, I guess. At that point, he is going to go back up into the domicile part of the compound, and he is going to try and find a closet, a janitor's closet, if he can. His grand plan is he is going to spend his 10-minute head start finding a janitor's closet that has vent access, use the contents of the janitor's closet, as well as the stuff that he has in his duffel that he gets collected, to construct a makeshift bomb, then contort himself into the ventilation system, so that he can take his bomb into a secluded part of the compound where he can then subsequently detonate it once the 10 minutes are up.
Okay, incredible. There are going to need to be a few rolls that come about as part of this.
just a couple.
Just a couple. That is fine. I do need you to... I think you're going to roll with tactical, first of all, to make a bomb.
Do I get any bonuses for the fact that I specifically prepped with materials?
No.
No.
No, you don't.
Nar.
You have the chemicals to make a bomb because I told you the chemicals okay. could be anything you want.
Okay. Fine. Would you believe that I got boxcars?
Wow. All right, cool. So yeah, you can assemble the chemicals to make a bomb. You don't know exactly how destructive it's going to be being made from household chemicals. You also don't know how like reinforced this facility is or what the walls are made out of, but...
Yeah, I'm going to need to try and place it strategically.
Yeah.
The experience I was kind of drawing on was sort of a weird amalgamation of his hell-raising youth, his experience in the Marines, and then his time in the blowing shit up sector of the movie industry.
Yeah, so you've got a bomb in your hands now, and the rest of your plan that you have to enact is to contort into the ventilation system and find a place to put it.
So I can always fit through small openings and perform feats of flexibility without having to roll the dice. So I think the getting into the vents and navigating the vents, I think, is essentially something that I more or less just do. What I would need to roll is, I guess, would be, depending on your interpretation, the actual finding and planting of the bomb, as opposed to getting around the ventilation system. That is more or less what contortionist lets me bypass. I can just do it.
That is fair. I mean, I'm fine with that. So then I think you would need to roll tactical for placing the bomb.
It's going to be a 7.
All right. 7 is mostly good. You get a success. So you do find the exact junction of the ventilation system where you think it'll do the most damage where you've placed it. And you can kind of like slither your way bonelessly through the ventilation system, through the janitor's closet. And anyone listening at home, Brennan just mimed bonelessly through a ventilation system.
You know, just try to give the chat a little something extra, you know, for tuning in.
This is what you get for watching us record live, so.
Yeah, you get to watch me mime bonelessness. The worst Pictionary category ever.
Everything's good. Everything's so fine. You wiggle your way bonelessly through the ventilation system, and you find a junction that you realize is actually basically placed over the room that the party is happening in.
Good. I like this.
You can kind of peek out through the grates below you and look down and see the party. People have mostly resumed what they were doing before, which is kind of like snacking and drinking and stuff like that. But you do see a handful of people are gearing up, basically, are suiting up and preparing to go on this manhunt. And you can set the bomb, but as you do that, there is a slight issue. You meant to set the detonator timer for one amount, and unfortunately, you accidentally set it for much, much shorter.
I'm pretty good at making bombs. I'm not great at math. I will be honest about that.
Yeah, that's the problem. So, what that means is that you're going to have to make another roll to get away from this thing before it goes off.
Okay, cool. What am I rolling?
I think that's going to be reflexive.
That's going to be reflexive. Okay. That is an 8.
Okay. 3 rolls. No failures.
Don't put that out in the world. I've gotten 2 boxcars so far this session, which means I'm waiting for the snake eyes.
Absolutely. So yeah, you set the bomb in place in the vent, and then you realize that the timer is much shorter than you meant for it to be. And you start trying to get away from it as fast as you possibly can while just sort of slithering without bones through the ventilation system. You reach a corner. You have to like pick a direction to go in. You pick one direction to go in, and you can see that it terminates in another vent that you're pretty sure is an outdoor vent. And as you are slithering towards that, you make it almost all of the way to it before you hear the detonator click behind you, and an explosion follows. You are going to get hurled out of the vent and out into the open air, a little bit above the jungle. You're going to take a little bit of damage. That's going to be the complication that you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. But your bomb is going to go off. You're going to take 2 points of damage. If you have armor or anything like that, that would apply to this.
I don't in this state, but I do get it once I transform.
Cool. You're hurled limply out of the vent and into the air above the jungle. You all of you actually hear an explosion rock the complex behind you. You hear more glass shattering. You hear the sound of marble and stone falling, people yelling and crying out in alarm and panic as well. And here you are out in the jungle. Watcher, from where you are flying overhead, you would see Ossuary just sort of be hurled limply out of the vent and into the open air.
I would like to try to catch Oss.
Okay, you're going to roll with reflexive.
That is a 9.
With a 9, you catch Ossuary, but again, just kind of a skin suit, so they kind of just get like blown and like wrapped around you, and it's hard to see. Like, it's one of those things where part of Ossuary is just sort of like covering your face and you're flying, but like you can't really see where you're going exactly.
Hey Oss, could you navigate for me?
Oh yeah, sure, Melf. Yeah, sick. All according to plan.
Amazing. And so I think what's gonna happen is Ossuary, you try to give directions, but they're not great directions. And Watcher, you inevitably, your wingtip like catches on a branch and that wing kind of folds back and you both plummet basically to the ground, though a much shorter fall than you would have experienced falling the full height from where you were blown out of the vent, or Watcher falling from where you were originally soaring. But what I will say is that when you land basically right in front of the Saros, who had a slight head start. Seed, you were gonna hit the tree line and see where your teammates are standing there also.
Hey, so we're in what I can only describe as a Hunger Games scenario.
I don't understand that reference.
I was just gonna call it more of a battle royale, but yeah, you know.
I don't understand that reference either.
Kill or be killed.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Watcher, we're gonna be hunted. I will hold up Asher and be like, we have him.
I don't want to be here. I don't want any part of this. Please let me go.
I'm going to spread my aura to Asher to calm him down.
Okay, that's going to be plus creative.
I understand you don't want to be here. I don't want you here, to be perfectly honest. They said we had to bring them ahead to maybe be considered. I think if we keep you, we're not going to take your head off your body, but this is... clearly, they want you. So sorry, kid. You are, as of right now, our insurance policy.
I was going to go with hostage, but again, yeah, same, same.
I have a plan for myself. You can keep your hostage.
All right, well, Saros is going to kill somebody. I'm fine with that. I do not like anybody here.
Well, I need to eat anyway, and I think the most effective display of sincerity would be to kill someone, eat their brain, and then I'm going to crawl inside of them and then rip this body's head off. I won't need it anymore.
Honestly, Saros, I love that for you.
That's a really good plan.
Please let me go.
I came out here. The only reason why I came out here is I have to get my dagger. That's not polite to do in a room of people. So, excuse me. And then the Saros is just going to go over to where they were going in the first place and is going to start coughing up their ritual dagger.
All right, Watcher, you are absolutely going to be their biggest target. You got big old wings.
I can't do anything about that.
Do you feel comfortable making a break for it, to be perfectly honest? I know that this is Dinosaur Island. We could get down to the boat and we could potentially finagle taking the kid with us, using him as, like I said, an insurance policy. And then when we leave... Asher, I swear to God, if you don't calm down, I will make you more anxious. My power works both ways.
I've been through so much you don't even know about.
Buddy, here's the thing. I think you are cool. I do not want to hurt you. Your friends are trying to kill us.
They're not my friends, but neither are you. I just want to leave.
I could be your friend.
Wait, hold on. You're not here willingly?
I'm not really. No? I don't know. They got me out of jail.
Change of plan. We're getting this kid out of here. I say we go to the boat.
I've also never done anything wrong, just in case you were wondering.
Okay, well, that's what a lot of people say when they're like narcissists and they don't accept actions and the consequences of them. So I can't take you at that everywhere because I don't know you as a person. That said, I do want to trust. Can we build this as a friendship of trust, potentially, Asher?
Are you still using your aura or are you just using your words now?
I'm both.
Okay, then I need you to roll with creative.
Okay, that's fair. I got an 8.
So your aura does seem to spread and calm Asher down, but it does kind of work a little too well. And Asher is now too calm. Asher is now way calmer than a person should be in the situation. You see he kind of like starts to smile and he looks around and he's kind of got this like dreamy expression on his face. Hey, like, whatever happens, happens, you know?
That's a really great motto. Yes.
I agree. Also, I think I did it too hard. Anyway, so what's the plan? Do we fight back or do we escape?
Well, I came here to infiltrate.
Sorrows, I think you're going to have to be our point person. Your plan sounds sincerely foolproof. They're not going to know who you are. Just don't vomit spiders in front of strangers. You know, they don't like that.
Vomit what? Excuse me?
Oh!
Don't worry about it.
Can I hand him one?
He will accept it. He will reach out and take it and is like, that's... This is kind of cute. This is a... They just live inside you?
Yeah. Lots of them.
That's really normal. I'll hold it back out to you. Do you want it back?
Actually, do we maybe want to take one with us so that we can sort of hive mind back with you?
Actually, yeah. Spider me.
Should I put it inside of me? Does it need to be inside of somebody?
No. No, it doesn't. Not if it's by itself.
Okay. Well, let me know if I need to.
If it needs to go inside, it'll take care of it.
So I was kind of tossed out like before I was done, though. Oh, man. He gets kind of a wistful look, like staring out at the column of smoke that is coming out of the building. That was good. I needed that, honestly. But I was going to try to use the distraction while they were all dealing with that and coming out here to get us. I was going to try to fuck up their computers and shit in there, like tear out some hard drives or something and take them with us. I can still try to do that, but I'm going to leave that up to you, Seed.
So here's what I think we should do. Sorrows, you stay, you infiltrate. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
All right. Watcher, you and I are going to be a distraction. We're going to try and go down there, cause as much chaos as we can. We're going to take the kid with us, try and get back to the boat. Okay?
Okay.
Ossuary, I love your idea. Go in there, steal any server information from them that you can. If you can't, fuck it up. At the very least, we're going to cut them some time. We're going to make them regret bringing us here under these false pretenses because I, oh my God. See, takes off the jacket and hands it to Ossuary.
Yeah?
Flips it around. Use this to help infiltrate. Change your face, meld your skin, do whatever you can with your weird contortionist stuff. See if you can find a mask, get back into the bathroom. They're not going to suspect one of their own. And then that way you're in there too.
Okay. All right.
Hey, I haven't seen everybody who works there, but everyone I've seen has bones.
Honestly, that kind of just seems like a discriminatory practice to me.
Look, Ossuary does bones, motherfucker.
All right. I love this plan.
Is this place still covered in dinosaurs?
Yeah. Yeah, lots of dinosaurs out here on this island.
I think I'm going to use my sword to just try and cut through as many trees as possible using my cut power, because I can cut through anything mundane pretty instantly. Then Watcher, if you're comfortable, fly down to the boat.
Yeah, I can do that.
And then once you get down there, get it started, maybe come back for me, because they're going to be following the tree path, hopefully, as easy pickings, because they're going to want this kid. In fact, Watcher, are you strong enough to carry the kid with you to the boat?
Yeah, I can carry the kid.
Okay.
I think. It's fine.
I'll take it, and then I will hand you the child.
Hey.
Hi. You're Asher?
Yep. What's your name?
I'm Watcher.
Cool. What are we doing?
Bye. Good luck.
We're gonna fly.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Don't scream or panic or anything.
I won't. Why would I?
Why would you? Exactly.
I feel great.
Seed, does this still work when he's away from you?
It will for a bit.
Okay. Then I will wrap my arms around Asher and fly off with him.
You're like a big bird guy, huh?
More of an angel, but sure. I don't really know what I am.
Do you think, like, maybe the fact that your brain goes to angel and not bird guy says something about you?
Oh God, the kid's a loser.
I mean, it probably does. But these look more like angel wings than bird wings.
Have you seen an angel?
I don't think so. But I don't know. Maybe I have. Do you think the fact that your brain goes to birds says something about you?
No. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I've been through a lot. Therapists tell me that I have severe trauma, which is crazy because I have actually a big fear and recurring nightmare about flying. But this is fine. I feel fine right now. So, gives you a thumbs up.
Let's stay with that feeling. It'll be fine.
I believe you.
Just trust me.
I do. You take off?
I do.
You do see, as you get above the trees with Asher, you're carrying him, and he is, he's kind of like going to spread his arms and do like a wee as you are flying with him, but he is basically like completely limp in your arms and not struggling or trying to fight you at all. So that helps, makes it easier. But as you get above the tree line, I do need you to roll reflexive.
That is a 12.
Amazing. So from behind you, you hear a series of very loud retorts of gunfire, and you hear bullets kind of whizzing past you as you are flying. Dodging bullets while in midair, I think, is not anything new for Watcher. Asher will call out, "Whoa, someone's shooting at us."
Yes, they are, Asher. That is correct. Yes.
That's also a big fear of mine. This is actually my nightmare scenario, but I feel great.
So, like I said before, stay with that feeling. I think my therapist said that this is, like, exposure therapy.
Great.
The only way this could possibly be scarier is if you were somehow, like, way more muscular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you weren't a twink, this would be terrible. Amazing. So yeah, you are kind of like ducking and weaving through the air, doing barrel rolls to avoid the bullets. You don't get hit. And as far as you are aware, Asher doesn't get shot either. Although at this point, you're not sure if he would make a noise if he were, or if he would just accept it and move on with his life. You start heading down the side of the mountain towards where you left the boat, right?
Yep, that is the plan.
Fantastic. So you are winging your way through the tree line. There are still bullets being fired after you. I will probably make you roll again, but before we get to that, we're going to move away and let's check in on the Sorrows. What are you doing?
Well, I have at this point, probably after saying my goodbyes and good lucks to the rest of them, I've taken off the gloves that I wear so that I have exposed skin. And I'm going
Let's check in on Ossuary. Ossuary, what are you doing?
So unfortunately, there's no getting away from this. What I was going to say is that actually, before Ossuary does his attempted infiltration, Oss was going to try to flop down and kind of like slither backwards into the underbrush to shadow the Sorrows, letting the Sorrows know that he is there, specifically just to make sure that Sorrows' infiltration attempt is successful, just in case, like, Sorrows gets, like, ganged up on by, like, three people, he can back her up. And then once Sorrows has successfully spidered someone, then he will commence continuing with his infiltration. So we're here, still here. We pan over to where Oss is, and Oss is just in the bushes watching this happen. So please continue. What does Oss see, Julia?
So the Sorrows has removed the gloves, so their hands are exposed, and probably pushed the sleeves up past their elbows too, so there's the most skin exposed that they can have. And they've got the ritual dagger, and they spider their way up onto a branch, and they're gonna wait for somebody to come along, and they're gonna drop on them.
Amazing. I love it. That is going to be a tactical roll from you.
5 and a 3, and it's flat skill, so 8.
Someone does come along pretty shortly thereafter. And I think in this particular case, you actually hear them coming from a pretty good distance away. You hear the sound of thundering footsteps. Something very big and heavy, or at least very heavy, moving towards you. You can see the trees moving in like disturbance as something that is big enough to move them is coming towards you. They step
into the little clearing where you are in the tree and where Ossuary is in the brush. When you see them, I don't actually know if the Sorrows would be surprised or weirded out by this, because I'm not sure the Sorrows can feel those things. But what steps into the clearing is a roughly 8 feet tall or so lion man, except parts of him are made out of fruit.
I'm going to wait.
So this is going to be the complication for your roll.
Oh, so he sees me.
He is tall enough that he is going to step in. He doesn't see you immediately, but he is going to be more or less eye level with you, where you are hanging out in the tree branch. And so he kind of like steps into the clearing, looks around, and his eyes are going to at first maybe like slide over you where you are, but then kind of snap back to you, and a low rumbling growl is going to sound.
All right, then I'm gonna do what I planned on doing anyway, which is drop onto them so that they're skin contact, and I'm gonna hex them when I get on there.
Okay, cool. And I think in that case, you were successful in hiding. My thought is reflexive in this case.
It's only one better, so 4 and a 5. And reflexive is also flat. Reflexive, tactical, and forceful are all flat.
Yeah, that's pretty normal for the system. So you have a 9.
To land on them and hex them.
And what happens when you hex somebody?
So, as the reminder, when I hex, I spill some spiders out of my mouth. They bite in and burrow down underneath the skin of the creature. Until they die or I release them, they basically do one thing that I ask them to do that also affects me. And so what I'm going to have them do is hold still. And I'm just going to slowly poison them with my skin, because as long as I am maintaining skin contact, that's 2d6 worth of damage. This is the hunting method of the Sorrows, is I catch you and then I poison you. I probably like plunge the dagger in to help myself hold on, because I have it.
So basically, as long as you don't move, he doesn't move, is what I'm getting from this. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it specifically says until the break, you break the hex, it applies to you as well. So whatever I say has to, yeah.
Yes, you do that, but you do get a complication for your efforts. And so I think what is going to happen, the Sorrows, you do this, you drop on top of him, you bleed spiders into his skin, they crawl under the flesh. He does become immediately immobile. He does stop moving and freezes in place. But as that happens, in the long tangle of his lion man mane, there are berries growing. In this case, like blueberries. And as you sink your spiders into him and he freezes and stops moving, some of those blueberries are going to start to swell and then pop. And these like lavender skinned, horrible, screeching monkey creatures are going to leap out of 3 of the burst berries and start climbing up the tangle of the mane towards the Sorrows.
I think that is the point where Ossuary is going to strike out of the bush like a snake and is going to be attempting to fend off the horrible blueberry monkeys.
Yeah, you want to fight the blueberry monkeys? That's totally...
I want to fight the blueberry monkeys, yeah.
That's totally reasonable. cool. How are you going to do that?
I'm going to... Well, so they're not big enough for me to, like, anaconda, which is his preferred move when he is boneless. So I think he's not great at just a straight up punch up while he's boneless, but I think that's the best he's going to be able to do right now, is just try to use the fact that he is bigger than they are to just do a smoosh, make some grappa with him.
Is there a reason you're not getting bony?
I can only boneful once per session. I am saving it for when I have no other option or for when it seems like a really necessary time. I'm going to take my chances and see if I can just punch up with the blueberry monkeys without going boneful.
Cool, 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 cool. Yeah, you can absolutely try to do that. Do you have a weapon when you're not a big bone guy with a club?
I do not. Would I be able to potentially grab the Sorrow's ritual dagger?
It's a question for the Sorrows.
Yeah. Are you using it for the hex?
I can't move. When I jumped out, I stabbed in, so I used that. I technically need to roll damage for the ritual dagger. Actually, which I guess, do you want me to save that until I roll all the damage at once, Will? The poison damage and the ritual dagger damage?
I didn't realize you did damage. You should roll that.
I do 2d6 of poison damage for touching them with my skin, and I do 1d6 of damage for the ritual dagger.
Yeah, you should roll those things.
Poor scary man.
I was gonna wait. I was gonna pick someone else. It's a 4, a 2, and a 5.
4, 2, 5, so 11 points of damage. Okay, cool. Yeah, okay, so the knife sinks into him, and the poison starts to seep in. He cannot move, but you do see the veins of poison that you are putting into his body kind of start to spread, and even though he is not able to actually move, he does kind of start to shake, I will say. Which means, yes, okay, so, Ossuary, you can not take the knife, but if you want to try to, like, grab a branch or something to use, you could try to do that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can just grab a thick branch rather than going, like, slappers only.
Okay.
Slappers only.
Slappers only. Roll with forceful.
I weirdly take a penalty to forceful when I am transformed because of the weird nature of the traits that I took, but I am actually at a flat right now. There it is. There's that 4.
We absolutely love to see it. Okay, cool. So we've established Scary Man is very, very big. So you're going to have to scale him somewhat. And I think as you do that, the blueberry monkeys are kind of starting to creep like over his shoulder off of his back and start making their way towards the Sorrows, who is frozen in place. That's a big failure. So what's going to happen is you are going to try to swing the club as you scale Scary Man at the blueberry monkeys, but they are going to leap back away from it. You're going to accidentally kind of overbalance, swing a little too hard, and start to fall off of Scary Man. But unfortunately, in the process, you're going to grab the Sorrow's ankle and you're going to accidentally move them. I'm going to say you both end up falling to the ground as the result of that. You're still holding onto your dagger. You can take it with you. So okay. You still have that, but you are now moving. And so the poison immediately starts to fade off of Scary Man. So now you have the 3 blueberry monkeys and a mobile Scary Man on your hands. Seed, what are you trying to do?
Seed will be running through the woods for probably about a quarter of a mile. Not straight line, just like here and there. So as to give a semblance of a trail. And then after that, darts off. But kind of like at an angle, like if he cut down straight and then he cuts back up towards almost like a misshapen V, back towards the base. He told Watcher to take that kid and get and he would meet up with him. I don't think Seed has any plans to meet up with him.
Oh, okay. All right. Spicy. Good to know. So you are trying to create a false path. You can absolutely do that. I think that's going to be plus creative because you're essentially lying.
Right. I got a 5.
Okay, you still do it. You just not, there's no way for you to be positive really whether or not it is going to work or whether it's going to be effective. I will say that I assume you are running exactly like an anime character though, with like your swords out to the side.
Yeah, this is full on Naruto run.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, awesome.
Arms back, sword in one hand.
Extremely cool. And so as is only appropriate, right around the time that you start to double back, juke to the side and pull yourself off of the false trail that you were creating, you are going to hear the whistling noise of something flying through the air. And then your run is going to be halted by a knife sticking out of your thigh. You are going to take...
Hold on, don't tell me. Whenever, due to my cut power, whenever anybody does damage to me, I can roll a d6. And if I tie their damage, I don't take any damage and they get cut in half.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, cool. Absolutely. What did you get?
I got a 3.
It was so close. It was so close. They got a 4.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
All those years studying the blade.
You studied the blade so hard. And so you do feel a knife thud into your thigh. It does halt your running. It is a kind of a weird looking knife. It's very thin. But you almost didn't feel it pierce your skin. It's so sharp, but you became aware of it once it was lodged in your leg because it hurt a lot. And the handle is still kind of just sticking out because this is now an anime dropping out of the tree, like in front of you onto the ground, landing in a crouch and standing up is, you'd recognize Sinner.
Leaves gently fall to either side.
Cool knife. Is there any way, I mean, you already have a seat at the table, so why are you taking part in this?
He is going to start unbuttoning the jacket that he's wearing. And as he does so, he is going to talk. Maybe just for fun.
Okay, well, probably gonna kill me. But that's okay. I've been killed by better people than you. Seed will remove his face cover and his sunglasses, put those in his pocket, and reveal deep gray eyes, toss Sinner back his knife, and holding his sword is going to rush him.
I need you to roll with forceful, I think. I mean, is your reflexive better than your forceful?
They're the same. They are literally the same.
Then roll with forceful.
Okay. I got a 9 plus 1, 10.
Amazing. All right, cool. So you're just going to do your damage, and you're not going to face any consequences for it, which means you're going to hurt him. So roll your sword damage.
Okay, that's 1d6 plus 1. That is a 7.
Fantastic.
Get him.
You cut him good. You run up on him, and you cut him hard. You're going to slash him, like, as he was unbuttoning the jacket. He does catch the knife with one hand, so he has the one hand kind of like here with the jacket. You slash at him, you cut him across the chest, he moves his hand out of the way, and he is going to leap back away from further attacks, but you do still hit him, and he starts to bleed. And as you do that, he is going to take the jacket off the rest of the way, because it is now slashed open. He's going to let the tattered pieces of it fly away on the wind, leaving him standing there with just like a tank top on. You can see that he is very well muscled. You can also see that he has like a harness on underneath it with more of those very finely bladed knives sticking out of them. And every inch of exposed skin below his neck, every inch or so, there is a red dot. It looks almost like a birthmark, maybe. It's hard to say. He's going to say, or maybe, I know who you really are.
Seed will stop talking and attack him again.
Okay, roll again. Roll with forceful.
Another 10.
Holy shit. Roll your damage.
That time it's a 3.
Okay, cool. All right, yeah. So you cut him again. He tries to get out of the way. He tries to, like, dodge out of the way, but you have studied the blade so hard, and you slash at him, but in this particular case, I can't even do that. You got a 10. You slash at him with the blade and you cut him. This time he kind of like tries to get out of the way, fails, puts his shoulder to it. So you just kind of slash him across his shoulder. As you do that, you see that all of those different spots on his body kind of all open at the same moment. And a reddish dust, like a puff of reddish dust, is ejected from each of them, creating this little cloud around him. But you got a 10, you were able to move back a few steps to avoid it. And he's just kind of wreathed in this red cloud. And he says, so what happens to the other guy if I kill you?
He's not me yet. He'll be fine. And honestly, I'll be fine too. When you've been through what I've been through, I have so many fail-safes built in. I've lived so many lifetimes that I'll be back. I won't remember this. Honestly, you might have killed me before and I don't remember it. But, you know, in case you did, I really hope I win this time.
He's going to start pacing around you. You're kind of circling each other, I imagine. And that reddish cloud around him, you can see that it's not sustained. You don't know what it is, but you know you don't really want to make contact with it, just to be safe. He starts circling you. You can see that it's starting to dissipate around him. He has a knife in either hand, and he says, honestly, I've never had the pleasure, but I've heard the stories. Doesn't it bother you that he's out there getting all the glory, getting all the attention? Nobody even knows who you are.
You know, there's one thing about attention. I want it on my terms. You're definitely going to have to try and get in my head a different way, and then I attack again.
Okay. Roll with forceful.
Time. I got a 9.
You're going to do it. You're going to do your damage. So you can roll your damage, but you're going to face complications for it.
Oh, boy. Well, this might kill me because I have 1 hit point left. Oh, but that's another 7.
Amazing. Okay, cool. What is going to happen is you see that reddish cloud starting to dissipate around him. He says what he says. You respond. You rush back in for another round of attacks. You slash at him. He parries as many of your blows as he can with the knives in his hands. Those pores on his body open up again. That same reddish dust flies out. And at where it makes contact with you, your skin starts to blister and burn. It's like a very severe sort of irritant that is creating these kind of welts and like itchy patches and worse, like chemical burns almost all over where your skin is exposed. You kind of like turn your head to get away from that. I'll roll his damage just to be safe, but I don't think it's possible that he doesn't kill you here.
No, I'm absolutely about to die.
He got an 8. So
great. Tight.
With these two knives that he has in his hands, he kind of like brings them in close up under your rib cage, almost lifting you off of the ground as he does so. And he looks in your face and he smiles at you and he says, "Bet you wish you could teleport right about now."
He still takes the damage from my attack though, right?
He does. At that moment, he coughs and blood comes out of his mouth and starts to dribble down his chin. And he looks down and he sees where your sword has also impaled him.
And as Danny feels his skin fall apart and blood leak out of him, the aura comes off of his sword, revealing a katana made entirely of bone. He smiles and goes, "You know what? Let's just call this a draw." The sword disappears in a flash of magenta light back to where it'll be waiting for the next seed to take it. In a flourish of magenta light, seed's corpse will blow away and disappear into the woods.
If you'd like to keep up with us and what we're up to, you can follow us on Twitter at Live From The Apoc, Instagram and TikTok at Live From The Apocalypse, Blue Sky at livefromtheapocalypse.com, or join our Discord community, which will be linked in the description down below. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, feel free to give us a good rating and follow the show on your podcatcher of choice. Leave a review if you're so inclined. It really does help us out so much. The donation link to our current charity fundraising campaign can also be found in the description if you'd like to help us support worthy causes. Join us for the live recordings of Academy H every other Sunday, or any of our many other ongoing live-streamed campaigns that happen throughout the week, over at twitch.tv/livefromtheapocalypse. For all this information and more, check out livefromtheapocalypse.com. As always, nothing we do would be possible without your support, and we appreciate you so, so much. Until next time. Academy H is edited by Will Malkus, with music and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Dark Fantasy Studios, and Krotos Sound. Character art by @OxyBellasDraws on Twitter and Instagram.
Why, Jamie? Jamie?
Why you gotta do us dirty like
what
that?
What the
Carbone?
Fuck, Jamie?
I'm so happy.
That was amazing, but also what
I'm
the
so
fuck?
I'm so satisfied. That was satisfying.
I had those. Oh no, the D in CD stands for Danny. No,
it's for car seat, comma Danny. Yep. It's how you would find Danny in a phone book.
God damn it. Fuck.
And with that, Seed is dead. Good luck, everybody else.
Beautiful. Stunning. Immaculate.